From the New King James translation of the Bible, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And as you are able, I ask that you rise out of respect for the word of God. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. The announcement of the birth of a child is made in so many different ways, isn't it? Probably one of the things that we remember about birth announcements is that it used to be, anyway, that if you had a child that was born, if it was a son, you would give everybody a cigar and say, "It's a boy." Or perhaps if it was a girl that was born, you might give people a box of chocolates and say, "It's a girl." Though I did read in an article that apparently you give cigars when a girl is born, too. It's not something that we find too often today. That when a child is born, that somebody walks up and gives you a cigar or a box of chocolates. What we give instead is a card, isn't it? A birth announcement. Perhaps a birth is announced on social media. Somebody posts a picture of the little child, and soon everybody, all your friends and your friends' friends and your friends' friends know that you've had a child, you've had a little baby. You know its name, its weight, its gender, its length. You know all of the details, the time that the baby was born, and it's a wonderful and a marvelous thing. And that's for those normal people like you and me. And then you have those birth announcements, those royal birth announcements, all the media hype that is that comes in behind it, the fanfare as they come out from behind these doors and to their adoring population, and they hold up the child and say, "This is Prince so-and-so." And everybody just is just so delightful. The newspapers and tabloids are filled with thanksgiving for the birth of this child. What type of birth announcements have you received? What made those birth announcements unique? Perhaps you have been blessed and able to give birth announcements to others. What were those birth announcements like? And when you received those birth announcements, what was your response to them? Were you filled with joy? Were you filled with thankfulness? Or were you filled with, oh, that's nice. I'm glad for them that they had another child. What? That's number 9? How in the world are they going to be able to provide for all of their children? You know? But all of these birth announcements pale in comparison to the most wonderful and glorious birth announcement ever. It's that birth announcement of our Lord Jesus Christ at the inauguration of the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption. That's the birth announcement that we will be looking at this morning. We're looking at the book of Luke. Luke was a gentle physician. He was a doctor. And as such, he gave attention to the details. And Luke, having believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, served him and served with the apostles. He was with the apostle Paul during Paul's Roman imprisonment. And one of the things that Luke was very concerned about was that there be an accurate record of the things that Jesus said and that Jesus did. And so he set about the task of recording for us the birth of the Lord Jesus, the work of the Lord Jesus, the death of the Lord Jesus, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the acts of the Lord Jesus through the apostles whom he had sent. Luke is the author of both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And these two books are to be read together and understood together. The book of Acts being the continuing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that Luke focuses on is the humanity of Christ. And it makes sense when you think about it that he is a doctor. He would be dealing with people who are sick and ill, and he would desire to help them and to encourage them and to heal them or bring about healing if that be at all possible. And so Luke's focus concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is that of his humanity. Thus in Luke, you find the fullest account of the birth of the Lord Jesus, all of the events that lead up to Jesus' birth and that which follows afterwards. In the Gospel of Matthew also gives us some detail about Jesus' birth and all of the events that surrounded it, but no one gives us that detail like Luke does. Luke wants you to see that Jesus became man, that he was like you and me in every respect, yet without sin. You see, John, in his gospel, the Gospel of John, he focuses on the divinity of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see here those two natures of the Lord Jesus Christ being brought together in the person of Jesus who was born, that baby that was held in the hands of Mary and Joseph on the night that the shepherds came, having heard that glorious wedding announcement. I want to show you by God's grace that God's plan of redemption is gloriously revealed to the shepherds by the angels. God's plan of redemption is gloriously revealed to the shepherds by the angels. You will see the astounding announcement and the immediate investigation. First of all, the astounding announcement. Verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Here you are introduced to some shepherds. Shepherds are those that take care of sheep. They are the ones that lead the sheep. They direct them to places of food, places of safety, places of water so that they can drink. Sheep, I'm told, are not overly intelligent. In fact, sheep are one of those few animals that you actually can lead. They will actually follow their shepherd because they know their shepherd very well. If you have other herds like cattle, you don't lead cattle. If there are any ranchers, you understand that full well. You drive the cattle to the places that you want them to go, but not so with the sheep. There were these shepherds. They were in the same country. Well, what country is that? That was in the region near Bethlehem, the region near where Jesus was born. We're told it's the city of David. It's the place where David was born. And you remember King David, don't you? That before he became king, he was a shepherd. He kept and tended his father's flocks. And it was in that same city, the same city where King David was born, that our Savior was also born. And there were shepherds. They were watching their flocks. They were tending them. They were defending them. And these shepherds, we're told, they were living out in the fields. They were constantly outside because their sheep needed constant protection from the wild animals, or probably even from the thieves that would come in and steal the sheep. And these shepherds are simply there in the fields, going about their daily grind, caring for their flocks by day, watching over their flocks by night. They were on guard duty, making sure that none of the sheep would go astray. And suddenly, there appeared an angel, and the glory of God shone around them. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Can you imagine being a shepherd, lazily watching your sheep? It's dark, looking up at the stars, perhaps, and enjoying the weather that God had given to you, and suddenly there's this bright light, and you're blinded by it. And not only is there a bright light, there's this angel of the Lord standing before you. How would you respond to that sudden appearance of the angel? Well, the shepherds were told they were greatly afraid. They were like, what is this? What's going on? They were literally, in the original, it says they were filled with, they feared a great fear. They were intensely afraid, because they had seen nothing like this before. In fact, they saw themselves like they'd never seen themselves before. In the presence of God, they saw themselves as filthy sinners, and so they feared. They were afraid of what God might do and what God might say. Have you ever been filled with a fear, a great fear of God, because of your sin? Brothers and sisters, this is a healthy fear. It's a fear that is used to drive you to your knees. The alternative to that fear is to be complacent now and for eternity fear and hate God. For that's all there is in this world, that if you do not fear God, stand in awe before Him and worship Him, then you will fear and hate God for all eternity. And the shepherds, they thought they knew they were in the presence of God's angel. What is God going to do to us? They recognized that something great and magnificent was going to happen. And what was it that was going to happen? You see, brothers and sisters, your fear ought to be fear, ought to be awe in the presence of God, not a hatred of God, not fright for what the judgment that awaits. But what was the shepherd's response? Notice the angel's response. What was their response? Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people." The angel brings them a word of encouragement, and he says to them, "Do not fear." Children, maybe you have had this experience. You're playing in your room and you're doing something you know that you shouldn't quite, you know you shouldn't be doing. And suddenly you look up and there is your dad or your mom looking at you. And you go, "Oh, I'm in trouble now." And then your mom or your dad says, "Guess what? I've got a gift for you. I've got something wonderful for you." What is your response? Isn't it one of relief, thankful, I'm not going to get in trouble for what I had done? and in fact, I'm being given something that I do not deserve. Well, that's exactly what happens here with the shepherds and the angel. The angel says, do not fear. Even though the glory of God shines around these angels, those to whom God comes do not need to be afraid of God. For you see, God is a loving God. He is a merciful God. And this great gift that he was giving to the shepherds, indeed this great gift that he was giving to all men, was that greatest gift of all. It was the gift of his grace and of his mercy in the person of that little boy, that little babe of which the angel had come to tell these shepherds about. Do not fear. Why not? Because I bring you good news. I bring you good news of great joy, great tidings which will be to all the people. That word there, the angel says, I bring to you good news, is that word that we use for evangelism. It's that word that we use to describe just exactly what it is that God has done for us. And that good news is that sinners are reconciled to God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the message that the angel has come to speak. And it is a joyful message. It is one that fills the heart with gladness. And indeed, the coming of Christ is good news for dead sinners because it is the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption. Brothers and sisters and friends, without Christ, there is no hope and no joy of ever standing in the presence of an almighty, eternal, powerful God who hates sin. There is no hope whatsoever. And this is the good news that the angel brings to the shepherds. And it is not only to the shepherds. Notice what he says. It is to all people. It is not just for those shepherds who were in those regions guarding their sheep. It is not just for those in the city of Bethlehem. It is not just for the Jews alone. It is for all God's people whom God will call in time to bow before the Son. That your redemption is about to be accomplished. That you are to be reconciled to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message of hope and the gospel that is to be proclaimed throughout the whole world. It's that same message that is being proclaimed in pulpits even today, even now, all around the world. Yes, even in those places where our brothers and sisters are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. For their hope is in that little child that was born on Christmas Day. He is good news to all people who bow to him in repentance and faith. You see, all men standing condemned before God need to be reconciled with God. And Jesus is that reconciliation. His birth is that first step towards your being declared righteous in the sight of God. His birth is that first step in those robes of righteousness that belong to Christ being placed on all who believe and trust in him. And so the shepherd gives to them a word of encouragement, but these are also words of joy. It is such a wonderful thing when a child is born, whether it's your child or the child of another, you just rejoice that the Lord has given new life. That God has given new life, even to those who have not expected it. For there is this birth of our Savior. He says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What is a Savior? A Savior is one who delivers from danger, difficulty, and destruction. And that is exactly what Jesus was born to do, to save you from your sin, to save you from the danger that you face of eternal judgment apart from Christ, to save you from the difficulty that you will experience for all eternity and for that destruction that will never end. That's why Jesus came. That's what makes this birth such a wonderful blessing, such good tidings. But not only is he the Savior, he is Christ the Lord, Christ the Anointed One. When a person was anointed, they were set apart for a special task. The high priest and the priest, they were anointed for the work of God in the temple. And this Christ, this little baby that was born, is the anointed. He is the Christ of the Lord. He is Christ the Lord. He is the anointed one to accomplish the work of God, but he is the Lord as well. That is, he is master and ruler. He is the one who possesses power and authority. He is the one that is in charge. I know a while back there was this controversy, the lordship salvation controversy, and the question was, can you have Jesus as your Savior but not as your Lord? And indeed, if Jesus is your Savior, he is your Lord, which means you must follow his instructions. You must do what he requires of you. That is your duty. And who wouldn't want to do that for such a loving Lord? A Lord who was willing to lay aside the glory that he had from all eternity, to take to himself a true body, to become like you and like me, to die upon a cross in order that you might have eternal life. What other God is there like that? What other Lord is there like that? Lords are usually ones who sit on their grand thrones and say, do this and do that. And if you don't do it fast enough, you're in trouble. Your head is gone. But not our Lord, not our Savior. He died so that you might live. There is no other Lord in heaven on earth like that. And this is a sign to you, says the angel. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This is how you will know that my word is true. You will find proof of what I have said. You will go to Bethlehem and you will find in a manger a little baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, long strips of cloth, that of a newborn baby wrapped around to protect them, to keep them warm. And there you will find this baby of which I am proclaiming to you. You won't find him in the palace. You won't find him in the inn. You'll find him in a cattle trough where the cows eat their hay, where the livestock feed from. Straw will be in those swaddling cloths. He will be there like any other baby, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. Now, if one angel wasn't enough, imagine a multitude of angels, that the heavens were just filled with the glory of angelic beings. And all of them, suddenly they came and they were praising God and declaring, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There was a glorious celebration. And who was celebrating this child's birth? Certainly not the world, but the angels, those creatures whom God created and who serve God in his very throne room, they were rejoicing and they were singing the praises of God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. They were the salvation that God was going to accomplish through Jesus. Have you ever pictured the angels rejoicing in God's work among men? For indeed, that's what they do. That's what they delight in. They delight in God's grace, in God's kindness, in God's compassion. And so they sing and they rejoice with God. They are praising his name, extolling his name, exalting his mercy, expressing great joy with thankfulness. For they understood exactly who this child was, lying in a manger. This child is your Savior. and my Savior if you trust in Him. This child is more powerful, has more authority than any other child that was born. This child demonstrates more gentleness than you and I have ever experienced. And so they glory in God's fulfillment of His promises. They honor Him who is the highest, who excels in His being, in His wisdom, in His majesty, in His holiness. They rejoice in the peace that God is sending among men, the good pleasure that He has. In some of your translations, they have in verse 14 something to and on earth peace among those with whom He is well pleased. You see, God is well pleased with His people. He is demonstrating His love in the coming of His Son. Jesus truly is Emmanuel, God with us. So you see this astonishing announcement, this astounding announcement that were made by the angels. But notice the response, the immediate investigation by the shepherds. So it was when the angels had gone away from there into heaven that the angels and the shepherds, they said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." They look at each other and they're just amazed. And they begin to discuss one another. Did we really see what we saw? Well, let's go to Bethlehem and let's find out if it is really true. Let's see if there really is a babe laying in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. And so they get up and they go. They leave everything behind. Their sheep that they're tending, the sheep that they're guarding, they're there. They have no thought for them. There's only one thing that they can think about. Let us go and see this sign that has been told us. That which has come to pass, that which the Lord has made known to us. And so they go. We're told they come in haste, and they find it exactly as they were told. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. You see, the gospel, the good news of the birth of our Savior, the good news of His death and resurrection and the forgiveness of sins that are to be found only in Christ always demands a response. You cannot hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and walk away. Well, you can, but you walk away to your own perdition, to your own condemnation. You must respond. You must come like these shepherds to this babe lying in a manger and cast yourself before them. You see, these shepherds found Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger as they had been told. Everything that the shepherd had said was true. This was a confirmation for the shepherds of the truth of the Word of God, that this child was special. But you know, the appearance of the shepherds was also a confirmation for Mary and for Joseph. For remember, Mary had been told by the angel that this child is going to be the Savior of my people. That she, the Holy Spirit came upon her and she was with child. And that this child was a special child. So that even the shepherds who did not know them from the regions all about came to see this baby whom the angel had promised Mary would be the Savior of God's people. And the shepherds made known to Mary and to Joseph and to anyone who would listen everything it was that they had seen. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. You see, the gospel message in the working in the heart and in the life of the believer also wells over into joyful adoration and thankful acknowledgement for Christ and for what God has done in Christ. You see, as I said, the gospel demands a response. And that response is to, part of that response is to tell others about this Savior who has died for my sins, who has died for your sins, for the sins of all who believe in Him. And what were the responses of the people? Do you notice? It says, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which they had been told them by the shepherds. They couldn't believe. They were just amazed at what the shepherds were telling them. Really? Angels came? Really? A multitude of angels came? And they told you about this little baby that was born? What, that baby that's in the manger there behind the inn? And they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men? Really? What's this all about? This is just amazing. We've never heard anything like this. This is the grandest birth announcement ever. And notice Mary's response. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept all these things. She held on to them. She preserved them. She remembered the words of the shepherds. She remembered the things that they had said. And then we're told she treasured them up. That is, she pondered them. She meditated upon them. She thought about them. Wow, what is it about this child that even the shepherds are amazed? That even the angels have come, a multitude of angels, singing the glory of God. What wonderful things will this child do? You see, the gospel message is to be pondered, studied, loved, and believed by the people of God. That's your duty. That's your responsibility. That as we go through this time of Christmas, it's not just the giving of the gifts, not just the time of fellowship, but to remember that Jesus was born in order that you might live and have life in Him. That your salvation is found in Him alone. And notice the response of the shepherds. Then the shepherds returned. They went back to the daily grind, but they were not the same. They were glorifying and praising God. They were changed men. They praised God for what they had seen. They were filled with joyful exaltation, and they magnified God's being. They were thrilled. And they said, may God be praised. Coming face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ changes a man or a woman, doesn't it? You can testify to that, can't you? If you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. You know the peace that fills your heart. That peace that passes all understanding is yours because this child was born in Bethlehem 2,000 plus years ago, in order that you might not die, but have everlasting life. You see, God's plan of redemption is gloriously revealed to the shepherds by the angels. They received an astounding announcement, and they made an immediate investigation. But brothers and sisters, this little child that was born in Bethlehem 2,017 some years ago is the most significant event in the history of man, aside from this child's death. For at this point, God came to the earth. At this point, God came to keep His law. At this point, God came to die for no sin of His own. This is a birth worth celebrating. There will never be a birth like it again. The eternal God, the second person of the Trinity, becomes man in order to reconcile you and me to God. Will you be singing with this heavenly angel? Think about it. The angels came down. You get a glimpse into the rejoicing of the angelic beings at Christ's birth. This is but a glimpse of what is in store for all who trust in Christ, not for a time, but for all eternity. Brothers and sisters, you get to sing the praises of God one day in Christ, because of Christ, because He died upon the cross. Can you imagine what that might be like? Even if you can't sing, can you imagine being able to sing gloriously with the angels, no less? In the presence of God Himself. That is the message of the gospel. That is the hope that is set out to all who believe in him. You, brothers and sisters, have every reason to glory and delight in God. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's because he loved you. He sent his son to die for you, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, this greatest gift is held out to you today. But it is yours only through faith in him. His life, his death, purchased for you forgiveness on the cross of Calvary. And it was a costly purchase. What a glorious birth announcement was made to these poor shepherds. Sing, brothers and sisters, friends, sing with all your heart, with all your being, with the heavenly hosts of God. Sing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. For that's who this little baby is.